What's the president saying about it this morning?
Well, the president knew that oil prices were going up and that there was international concern about oil prices given the current war with Iran. So yesterday he made an announcement saying that the U.S. would make sure that there would be safe passage of oil tankers from around the globe through the Strait of Hormuz, and that there would be available insurance policies as well in case there were any losses, that these safety features would include U.S. military escorts through the Strait of Hormuz. Well, the oil markets liked that an awful lot, and that may at least in part account for why the stock market seems to have been doing a little bit better so far today when compared with most recent days.
Uh-huh. So that could, we're just making sure the oil is okay. We have plenty of sources for oil in this world, and they're not all in Iran and Libya.
No, that's correct. And in fact, the president has made it very clear that when it comes to the U.S., we don't really have to worry about that, that, as he's put it, we have enough oil under our feet to last for thousands of years. But it's not the U.S. oil that is the major concern. It's the international oil and the global markets, because they depend on other sources. And since our economies are interconnected in this global economy in which we live, if problems about oil affect other countries, then they could eventually affect our country. And that means that investors were very nervous. Well, whatever the president said yesterday regarding safe passage and use of U.S. military escorts through the Strait of Hormuz seems to have calmed things down a bit.
What about this ship that our Navy sunk with a torpedo? Do we know any more about that?
Yeah, we know that it was a U.S. submarine that sunk this Iranian vessel, and I believe there were over 100 people who were on board that Navy vessel. The president yesterday, while talking with the German chancellor in the Oval Office, said that the U.S. was eliminating or had eliminated Iranian aircraft and now Iranian vessels.
Now, I've asked John, this is just thinking out loud. Pete Hegseth mentioned it's the first time in 80 years, so I guess Second World War, a declared war. It's first time we've sunk a boat using a submarine, a ship, I guess we should say.
On the high seas.
On the high seas, international waters. Is there any question regarding the legality of that?
Well, I'm sure there's always going to be some questions. But the U.S. will say that it was defending itself against Iran and is heading off the possibility of Iran counterattacks. There have been numerous Iranian counterattacks against several U.S. interests around the Middle East, most of them U.S. military bases. And as you know, yesterday there was a drone strike against the U.S. embassy in Dubai. It did create some damage. It landed actually in the adjacent parking lot, but it set the place on fire. And everybody, by the way, was evacuated safely, many of whom had already previously evacuated. But the U.S. is as the president said, in a war against Iran, and any actions that are taken within that context would be viewed as such.
Now, what about Congress? I know they're still pretty concerned that they weren't at least advised what was going on before it happened.
Yeah, the Senate has already started the procedural process to vote for War Powers Resolution today. Initially, it was scheduled to start that procedure yesterday, but the senators were waiting for a briefing from the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, who did go up to Capitol Hill and did brief the senators, some of whom came away very angry, upset, disappointed, some of whom thought that the briefing was quite good. Again, everything splits along party lines in the world in which we live, both on Capitol Hill and in the country. So you can imagine how that split in terms of the interpretation of that briefing. The War Powers Resolution right now is starting on the various procedural requirements that are part of the Senate rules, and eventually there could be a vote if they waive some of the procedures either later today or certainly this week, and then it goes to the House. But here's the thing. If it passes in the Senate, it only requires a simple majority. There are some Republicans, at least one, I should say, who has already said he's not going to vote, is going to vote for the War Powers Resolution. And one Democrat, Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, who says he is going to vote for the War Powers Act. That means that since the Republicans have a very, very slim majority as it is, if there's any more crossovers, it will fail in the Senate. However, if it were to pass in the Senate and pass in the House, where it is more likely to pass without a whole lot of opposition, because the Republicans have a much larger majority, still slim but larger, it would then go to the president. He has already said he's going to veto it. And then it goes back to Congress, which would have to have a veto override. And in the Senate, that would mean a 67 or two-thirds majority to override. And the votes just aren't there. The sheer numbers are not there to override a veto. So we can pretty much guess that the War Powers Resolution, whether it passes or doesn't pass in the House or the Senate, is the president still going to proceed with the path that he has already chosen?
I'm wondering if any of the results from last night's primaries have had any impact on the way senators are feeling about things.
Well, Texas was a very interesting situation. There's a runoff election now for Senator John Cornyn's seat. He's been in the U.S. Senate, the Republican from Texas, for more than 20 years. And he is facing Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, and Paxton has a lot of support. Since neither one of them got a solid more than 50% of the vote in the primary, because there were other candidates as well who did siphon off some of the votes, there's going to be a runoff election. So the situation in Texas, which used to be a true red state, now seemingly turning a bit purple, certainly in some districts, has created a bit of a headache for the GOP. They do not want to lose that seat. And whether it be Senator Cornyn or Senator Paxton on the Republican side of the aisle who win it, or the Democrats who also had a primary yesterday, then either way, it does symbolize that Texas is very much in play. And Texas, again, as historically known as a very red state, the fact that it is very much in play is really a concern for those who hope to maintain the Republican majority, at least in the Senate.
Well, North Carolina was interesting, too, the way that came out. It looks like this state is really going after their former governor and wanting him to represent them in D.C.
Yep. So it's North Carolina and Texas. North Carolina also used to be a little bit more red than it is now. The whole balance of power in the Senate is always a concern in this current session of Congress because, again, the Republicans have a very slim majority. The president is very concerned about this, by the way. The president has control in the executive branch, obviously, and Republicans on his party have control of the House and the Senate, slim majorities in both houses as they are. But if he loses either House of Congress, he loses the ability to affect his legislative agenda. And, of course, he wouldn't want that to happen. So he's been campaigning actively on behalf of Republicans to try and maintain those majorities.
I just wondered if some of the results on these may be harbingers of things to come, and maybe some of the senators who are up for re-election this year might vote differently, understanding that change appears to be coming.
Yeah, and also there, keep in mind there are a number of senators and members of the House who are retiring or seeking other office, and so they have a certain degree of political cover. They don't have to worry if President Trump says bad things about them. They don't have to worry if the president threatens to, as he puts it, primary them, in other words, prop up a different candidate to oppose them in a primary election. They have a certain amount of political freedom now that they may not have had before.
Let's turn back to Iran. This thing happened so quickly, and it happened without a whole lot of warning. A lot of people are stuck there, and they can't get out.
Yeah, thousands of Americans are stuck in 14 countries. And the State Department had urged Americans in these Middle Eastern countries to leave Many of them cannot leave because thousands of commercial flights have been canceled or diverted away from the Middle East. And if they had even been lucky enough to get a seat on a civilian aircraft, it probably no longer exists because that aircraft has been diverted. And the commercial aircraft are, as you can well imagine, not very willing to fly into a war zone. So right now, the State Department has been reaching out to a lot of American citizens, and a lot of American citizens have been reaching out to the State Department. And Secretary of State Marco Rubio just said yesterday that the evacuations might be affected through U.S. military aircraft. So they may have to send military in there or charter flights, but charter flights would be flown by commercial pilots and commercial aircraft, and it's going to be hard to find either one that wants to fly into a war zone. So it might be that they're going to, as they say, make room on the open seating area of their military transport planes to get American civilians out of there. And there has been a lot of criticism about whether there was any, or certainly whether there was enough, advanced planning to get Americans out of a war zone.
I was confused about the timeline because Ambassador Huckabee advised his people to get out from the Israeli embassy, but Ben-Gurion Airport had already been kind of shut down.
Yeah, yeah. And then he was a governor, Ambassador Huckabee said that the Israeli embassy cannot assist Americans who want to get out. In other words, he's powerless to do anything about it because there's no aircraft.
Oh, boy. So it's...
So what they're suggesting is taking a bus or what have you to Egypt and to get a flight from there.
You know, as far as the State Department goes, they've put out advisories to the embassies and advising people to get out throughout the Middle East, correct?
That's right. That's right. And I've been watching the advisories going out to various countries over the past few days, and they've been picking up in volume. But, you know, at this point, it's almost like closing the barn door.
Yeah. Okay.
Linda, as always, we appreciate your great reporting, and thank you for drilling down for us this morning.
Oh, one thing I did want to tell you. I went to take those pictures Hollywood Walk of Fame on the sidewalks. They managed to get those stickers off, so I'm very sorry I didn't get the pictures yesterday.
Darn.
They were not there this morning, and that had to have been a major undertaking because those suckers were on there.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well.
What did the stickers say? I don't recall.
They were pictures of Jeffrey Epstein, and they had the names of various Republicans and cabinet members and business people associated with Jeffrey Epstein, and they looked like Hollywood Walk of Fame stars, but with Jeffrey Epstein.
Sort of a Walk of Shame sort of thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right.
Thanks for the update.
Yeah, Linda, thank you.
You're welcome.